You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Sam Davidson on the board, our producer and engineer for the day. It is the 5th of May, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It is Cinco de Mayo. Cue the mariachi band. No, we do not have a mariachi band, but we do have Sam Davidson. Sam, back for another day. I cannot thank you enough, Zommers. Apparently, he had some bad fish at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association dinner, which is odd because there was no fish.
Maybe he brought his own.
He actually
was still bad.
He actually wasn't there, but yeah. No, he's still feeling a little ill. It's the cold and flu season, and so wasn't able to make it in, but happy that you're here and appreciate you. You always do a great job. Of course, Sam is the producer engineer of John Gordy on WMDX, our flagship station here in Madison at the world headquarters of Civic Media. So glad to have you here, Sam.
Glad
thank you
to be here.
Now, there's a big night market on State Street on Thursday. Are you going to be part of that again?
I will be. John Gordy and I have been jokingly throwing out the idea that we should get cardboard cutouts of ourselves so we don't actually have to show up.
I love
cardboard cutouts are a little expensive, though. So
now,
I guess we're going to have to go.
Now, you are you're an ace at this because there is a wheel of misfortune that people can stop by and spin and then win fabulous prizes like a keychain.
If they, that's right.
At the booth right outside on State Street. And I'll tell you this, Sam is an Eagle Scout, number one. No one's better with the young people and the kids at these things than Sam. You do a great job. So
thank you.
I enjoy watching that. So you'll be there.
Oh, yeah. You can count on it.
I try to get to the later shift so that John and or Gordy can go home because they got to get bread. You do, too. Early the next day. So
well, they got to drive. I live just a couple blocks away.
So. Oh, I see. Yeah. And they're older than you.
Yeah, a lot older than me.
The look on Sam's face. I absolutely love it. Oh, big show today. At the bottom of the hour, Jack Kelly is going to be here from Wisconsin Watch talking about some of the news happenings last week and over the weekend as well. We're going to talk. This is making news today. Donald Trump wants to put new tariffs on films. And we're going to do a little look back in Wisconsin on films, even before your time, Sam. Wisconsin was a breeding ground for film production in Wisconsin, and people have forgotten that history, so we'll dig that up a little bit as well. Are you a Bitcoiner? Do you know a lot about the Bitcoin, Sam?
I can't say that I do, no.
Yeah, well, I'm not an expert at all, but there is interesting news on Trump and the old Bitcoin, the further scams going on there. And much, much more. We're going to talk about Ron Johnson here from Wisconsin in a second, but I would be remiss if I speak in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. The big gala, big masquerade ball gala was this weekend on Saturday at the Marriott. It was attended lots of people there. And a couple of takeaways. First, the Sirius, which is a huge shout out and congratulations to our colleague, Maggie Dawn, who won the Large Market Radio Show of the Year Award for the Maggie Dawn Show. So congratulations to her for that. She also won, I think, for best media or use of social media in large markets. So congratulations to her. Also then, Brittany Merlot, one of our weather people and news people up in Wausau. She won like three awards. Fantastic. WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, Melissa Kay and others won awards. These are all first place winners, and there were other place holders, kind of like the Kentucky Derby. I can tell you, our show was nominated, but with little surprise, we did not win. So, but congratulations to all the winners. A fantastic job by all. Now, let's get to the less serious part of this evening on Saturday. The best part of the evening for me was I got to sit next to the lovely and talented Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair On Air. And she slipped me a couple of Mickeys throughout the evening. And so I was loaded by the end of the night. No, not really. Not really. We had a lot of fun. And number one, it's way too long. It's 4 hours long. 4 hours of this. Number two, and I think Jane talked about this a little bit on her show this morning. It's a room filled with broadcasters and media people. We cannot shut up. And so the poor people up on the stage giving out these awards for 4 hours, it was a constant, people were talking over them. I felt terrible for the presenter. There was only one time in 4 hours where the crowd showed restraint and respect. And that is at the end of the night when they announced the winner of the 50-50 raffle. Otherwise, no, people. And there was a lot of this going on, Sam. There was a lot of, so let's say I'm talking to someone, not Jane, but other people in the room. There was a lot of this going on. Do you know who that is over there? No, I'm not sure. Oh, God. I don't want to talk to them. Oh, hey, how are, great to see you. How have you been? Great. Fantastic. Have a nice evening. Bye. Who was that again? I'm not sure who that was. You heard that from people all over the room because you kind of recognize people.
Right. You see them on TV and stuff like that.
Right. But you're like, and then you try to act like you know who they are. There were a couple of people that I knew. Largely, people avoided me. which is
their loss.
Well, no,
their
no, no, loss. Not at all. Which is normal for me. Which is normal for me. So no, it was a good time had by all. The best part of the evening, our table was fantastic because I don't get to see Jane that often. And so we had a lot of laughs and Greg Bach was there, her co-host of Matt Nair On Air. That was great. Aaron Carreno, one of our VPs, he was there. That was our own Catherine Lake who helped put all that together. Many thanks and shout out to her for putting it all together. So
I think I saw a picture of Sage Weil himself there as well.
Sage Weil. In a rare, our owner and CEO making a rare appearance in full suit and tie.
Yeah.
That's a big deal for him. So he was, and many thanks to him for all the opportunities. So that was the weekend, by and large. I did a little kayaking over the weekend. First kayak trip with my friends Kurt and Florcy. That was a beautiful day yesterday to get out and about. I think that was by and large it. Did you get outside this weekend, Sam? That's all I want to know.
Oh, boy, did I. I was up in my parents' cabin, but I was told it was going to be a fishing trip with my dad mostly, and they instead used us for manual labor, my brother and I, to put the dock in, put the boat lift in, and build part of a fence.
Really?
Yeah, so that was my Saturday.
Wow.
It wasn't bad, though. It was nice being outside.
Was it beautiful weather up north?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was great.
And I think most of this week now is going to be 60s, maybe a couple of 70s along the way. And then Mom's Day, Mother's Day, coming up on Sunday this week.
That's
so
right.
For those who have moms, don't forget that's coming up on Sunday. Looking forward to that as well. Are you a big Cinco de Mayo guy, Sam? Do you go out for the evening?
I didn't know that was a thing, going out on Cinco de Mayo.
Well, some people go out and have margaritas and tacos and whatever. And the thing is, in Mexico, it's not really that big of a thing. It's kind
it's
of
a bigger thing here.
Yeah, it's an Americanized holiday. Huh. Yeah. When, you know, and people kind of yuck it up and overdo it and whatnot.
Sure. Are you going out for Cinco de Mayo?
There's a place, 7 Acres Dairy down in Paoli, that's having kind of a cool thing tonight, but I don't think I'm going. I think I'm just going to celebrate the evening as per usual, alone in the dark. No. I'm just gonna chill. I think that's my evening. So all right. Well, it's great, Sam. It just by the way, we should take a look. I always like doing this, especially when Sam's on the show. He created the Sam Davison Street Cam for those
you
watching.
You give me too much credit, Todd.
Not at all. You're the one who put this together. It's the Street Cam. Look at that beautiful shot of downtown Madison. You have the Overture Center on the right. And my failed coffee shop right in the middle of the screen.
Is that where it used to be?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I've told this story on the show before. That was the original location. And then people in downtown Madison who will go unnamed on the air screwed me over. I lost $25,000. But if you look through the window and see where the building is connected, mm-hmm. I paid for that.
Wow.
Yeah. So I say on the show, if I ever get too big of a head, too much of an ego, I just look out the window to one of my not
Put
so
you
great.
Back in your place.
Exactly. Not one of my not so great ventures. But look at that. It's a beautiful day out there in downtown Madison State Street. So get out there and enjoy the weather. I know. Friday, Sam, I went down to see the Brewers and the Cubs.
That's right. You mentioned that.
By the sixth inning, Kurt and I were out of there because it was 10-0.
Oh,
Cubs.
Man.
Yeah, not so great. However, the Brewers did get a win on Sunday yesterday afternoon, so at least they did not get swept by the Cubbies. And they'll try again for another win. It's Houston Astros. The Astros are in town. Broadcast time starts at 6:05 tonight in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and now in beautiful Hayward, Wisconsin, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Tyler in Wisconsin Rapids, what do you say? I think you should have been awarded best laugh at least. Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate that up there. WFHR, the station up at Wisconsin Rapids, Melissa Kay and those people, they won some legit awards. So they came home with some great, well-earned hardware.
A lot of local news team awards.
Yes, so
good on them.
100%. And that really is one of our strengths here at Civic is all the great local news folks in each of your respected areas. Want to get to this? Should we do it now or when we come back? The Tapper Ron Johnson cut. Do we have time now to sneak it in or not? A little bit. All right. So here was over the weekend, Wisconsin Senior Senator Republican Ron Johnson on State of the Union with Jake Tapper. And they brought up the Wisconsin lead pipe issue. Here's what Rojo had to say.
Much for joining us. I do want to start with something close to home for you. At least 9 schools in Milwaukee have been temporarily closed this year after some students were found to have elevated blood lead levels, which can cause developmental issues. The CDC has denied city officials' request for help after HHS Secretary Kennedy shut down the agency's lead poisoning prevention program. Your fellow Wisconsin Senator, Democrat Tammy Baldwin, wrote to Secretary Kennedy saying he needs to immediately rectify the issue, unquote. Do you agree? Have you talked to Secretary Kennedy about this?
Good morning, Jake. Well, first of all, lead in paint and buildings has been an issue for decades. We know how to test for it. We know how to mitigate it. I wouldn't think this is something that requires federal government involvement in it. It sounds like Secretary Kennedy, again, when you have a budget now that's $7 trillion large, having only been $4.4 trillion large in 2019, and you try and pare back government, there's some things you're going to have to reverse. And it sounds like Secretary Kennedy is going to take a look at this and see if he needs some experts on this in CDC. But again, this is an issue that's been around a long time, and local and state officials ought to be able to handle this.
Local and state officials ought to be able to handle this. That is Ron Johnson, Wisconsin Senior Senator, Republican, on State of the Union, Jake Tapper this weekend. Local and state officials ought to be able to handle it, according to Ron Johnson. Now, here's a guy. We're going to come back. Here's the little, they like me to do teases, as we say. So here's the tease coming up. I'm going to tell you a story about when Ron Johnson first got elected U.S. Senator and what he told my former boss about Wisconsinites stricken with drought and the compassion and the caring level that Ron Johnson had for them. So these comments on folks in Milwaukee, not a surprise. Nor is it unexpected. Not unexpected to have a great time with you every week. Come on back. It's another edition on Monday of the Todd Allball Show right here across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Zommers on the disabled list still. So Sam Davidson is pinch hitting once again as a producer and engineer. Sam, always a pleasure. We are talking, you can always see the secret show, as we like to call it, during the break on the stream, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the like on the stream. We just talk about, sometimes it's the same thing we're talking about on the air, sometimes not. And we got a text in from Barb in Waukesha on WAUK, who said, I thought about you while watching on Friday night, the Brewers game. At least your tickets were free. Because I said, I went, you know, I was fortunate enough to have a couple of the Civic tickets. My buddy Kurt and I went. The Brewers lost 10-0. So, but we had a couple of hot dogs. And then I traditionally like to have one Miller High Life at the game. And so I took a picture of me holding up the High Life with Kurt and I, and we sent that to, we called the family group chat on WhatsApp. and so my two godsons are on that, Kurt's sons. And one of them, Jason, said, Todd is so upset at Miller Lite dropping the stadium rights, he couldn't stomach having one there. Which is only partly true, but I enjoy a good Miller High Life now and again. And you're saying that the nitty here in town, dollar High Lifes?
That's right. Weeknights from 10 to 11 p.m., you can go and get a Miller High Life for $1.
A buck!
That's right.
You can't beat it. And as I said, it's the champagne of beers. It's an old marketing thing.
That's right.
I like it. I think it's a fresh, crisp, refreshing beer.
I agree.
All right. Very, very good.
Not too bad.
That's a tangent for today. All right. Before the break, play a little Ron Johnson, senior Republican senator from Wisconsin, was on Jake Tapper's show over the weekend, State of the Union, and said that he thinks that the lead pipe problem in Milwaukee, the people in Wisconsin and the state and local officials should be able to handle it. Here's the deal. Back when I used to be a Republican and worked for former state senator Ron Johnson, about this time of year, usually in February, March, Republicans used to have something called Lincoln Day dinners. It's like their annual fundraiser get-together. They usually choose an elected official. So this was in Hillsboro, Wisconsin, at the Vernon County Lincoln Day dinner years and years ago in southwest Wisconsin. Ron Johnson had just been newly elected. It was, I can't remember, 90s or maybe early 2000s. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Whatever he was first elected. And it was a year of a drought, a really, really bad drought. And so Dale was there as the local state senator, and he's seated at the head table next to Ron Johnson, Republican, fellow Republican. And he's saying, look, you know, this is really bad for our farmers, and here's what we could do at the state level, but what ideas do you have at the federal level? How can our two offices work together for our mutual constituents, our agricultural farmers, during this drought in Wisconsin? And Ron Johnson just kept eating the whole time. And finally, when Dale, he put down his fork on the plate with kind of a clank, and he finally looked at Dale and he said, Dale, what does that have to do with lowering the deficit? That's what I'm laser focused on. I went back to eating the salad. And Dale told me on the way home, he goes, yeah, I got the message right away. And that's a great example of who this guy is, Ron Johnson. And there are other people I will not mention, other Republicans, because I don't have authorization to do so. There are other high-level Republicans that I know who have told me firsthand that when their family or people they know have a federal problem, they tell them specifically, call Senator Tammy Baldwin's office because Johnson will not do anything for you. They're notoriously bad at constituent casework. And so... hearing Ron Johnson say this on Jake Tapper, that he's just pawning this off onto people, well, we shouldn't be bothered with this. Kids are being exposed to lead in Milwaukee public schools. We don't have time for that. It's not a surprise, nor is it unexpected. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Nick on the phone. Nick listening on WMDX here in Madison. Nick, thanks for calling. What say you?
Hey, thank you for having me. I was just listening to you talking about going to a Brewer game. And first of all, you know, maybe you should hang up right now. I'm a White Sox fan. But,
That's fine.
Yeah, but I remember one time I went to a Brewer game. Mm-hmm. It was my friend's birthday, and basically we got there. It was a last minute thing,
right?
And then we got there, and then he said, "Okay, Nick, you set up the grill. I'm gonna get tickets." Then okay. I came back as I was grilling out, and he said, "Okay, I was given three choices: standing room only, reduced visibility,
sure,
or behind home plate."
Whoa.
So we took behind home plate. Of course we did.
Of course.
We're not idiots, you know?
How was it?
It was really good. And actually, you know, we both could, you know, have an honest disagreement with the umps based on, you know, the pitches, you know, because we were right behind it.
Right. See, this was not just speculation. You saw the same view as the umpire was.
Absolutely, yes.
That's fantastic.
And I was on TV, so here we are.
And this was at AmFam Field or back when it used to be County Stadium?
Back then, no. It was, you know, it was still Miller Park.
Miller Park, yeah.
Always call it Miller Park.
Right.
Don't ever call it anything else.
Now, so you were that close. Here's the question. What's her name? We only got a minute left here. The Brewers girl, the buxom Brewers girl that's always on TV with the low-cut blouse. Were you near her?
No, but I wish I was.
You know who I'm talking about. Have you watched Brewers games? She has season tickets, and she has like a Twitter account and maybe not OnlyFans, but like Insta account and something like that. I don't know. So there you go. All right, Nick, that was a great story. I appreciate you calling in. And best of luck to the White Sox.
So
yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. How about that, Sam? There you go. That's what you want when you go to a Brewers game. All right, come on back. What you want is Jack Kelly from Wisconsin to Watch, going to review some of the news stories of the week. On the more serious side, don't go anywhere. It's a Monday edition of the All Ball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tala Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 35 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on Monday, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Sam Davidson, our producer and engineer today, out for Zomers, who's on the DL list, but Sam brought in the maracas, which I appreciate for Cinco de Mayo. I appreciate it. Speaking of that, we were talking before we had a caller call in and said they got in front row seats. It was a White Sox fan, got in front row seats or close to it at a Brewers game. And I asked if you'd seen the woman that sits there, you know, with it. Speaking of maracas, and he said, no, I never had. And I couldn't think of the name, but it's John from West Bend, front row Amy. Front row Amy. And so it's a real thing. And she has a big social media following.
And she goes to like just about every Brewers game, sits right behind home plate.
And she keeps the score, and it's a big deal.
Yeah, that's great.
So it's fantastic. Anyway, thank you very much, Sam. So thank you to our fine listeners for clarifying that. Speaking of big news, always big news is where you can find the big news of the state of Wisconsin, wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. And Jack Kelly, one of the many fine writers and journalists from that organization, joins us here at the desk in our studio. Jack, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, good to be back. Good, as always, to see you.
Well, it's a pleasure, and I think we're going to start doing this on a regular basis. I appreciate that, because Mondays, there always seems to be a lot to get through, and people can sign up for your newsletter, which is fantastic. They can also check out the stories at wisconsinwatch.org, but this will be great now on Mondays to have you help us sort through the news of the weekend, despite the fact I hear now that you're a Chicago fan as well.
just baseball.
Just baseball. But you're a Packer fan.
I am a Packer fan, and you know, let's keep in mind, the NFL reigns supreme, certainly in my household. So
very good. All right. Let's turn to a little news over the weekend. We have a 2026 seems to be a long ways away, but I guess these days in political terms, it is not.
Yeah.
And we do not know whether or not Governor Evers is going to run for re-election on the Democratic side, but there's already an entry in the Kentucky Derby of politics in Wisconsin, the governor's race.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. So, you know, Washington County Executive Josh Showman got into the race over the weekend. And you know, there could be many more Republican candidates to come as well. It could be a quite crowded Democratic primary if Governor Tony Evers decides not to seek a third term. You know, he has gone back and, you know, he has not publicly said what he plans to do. He keeps saying, I want to wait until after the state budget. You know, when you talk to folks in the know, it seems to go back and forth. So I think the question remains outstanding there. But yeah, an interesting entry in into the race here from Josh Showman. I think that in some ways he might remind people, you know, going back to yesteryear, of someone like Governor Scott Walker, you know, Milwaukee area county executive, younger guys, 43, combat veteran, could potentially be an interesting foil for somebody like Tony Evers, who would be, you know, almost 30 years his senior. And we saw how effectively Republicans were able to weaponize President Joe Biden's age against him. You know, obviously the governor is still a good decade younger than the former president was, but is another person who is, you know, not known for his public speaking. And it would be interesting to see how that dynamic would play in the race. So, fascinating as always, right. Wisconsin politics, 18 months out.
I really don't know the guy at all. I don't know a lot about him. Is he regarded in Washington County as someone who can get things done? Is he fairly partisan? Do we know a lot about this guy?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he popped onto my radar just in the last couple of weeks when the rumors started swirling that he was getting interested in. And I believe he was on the county board and has been a mover and shaker kind of in county level politics for a while. Of course, you know, Washington County is one of the counties, right? We love to talk about the wow counties when it comes to Wisconsin politics. I think it's interesting to see, you know, if you look at statewide candidates recently, right? Eric Hovde was a Madison Democrat. You know, Brad Schimmel had a lot of previous baggage from being a statewide elected official. Of course, he was from Waukesha County, but, you know, he was attorney general, and the sexual assault kit backlog, et cetera, was really baggage that I think hit him hard, as well as Elon Musk's influence in the state Supreme Court race came back to bite him probably. It'll be interesting for me to see if a guy like Josh Showman, who comes from the you know, the heartland of Republican politics in this state, is able to gain some traction. You know, there's something to be said about getting in the race early. You know, if you pick up some momentum, maybe some key endorsements to scare some people off, raise some money, it could be interesting. It would be really interesting for me to see, you know, you would have kind of a really interesting dichotomy of the two-term Democratic governor, been a public servant for a long time, versus a much younger opponent kind of from the Republican heartland in the state. So I think that, you know, that hypothetical shapes up to be interesting. It also shapes up to be interesting when you consider if Evers does decide not to retire, not seek a third term, the whole line of potential Democratic candidates as well. So it would be interesting to see in 26 if we had an open governor's race. I think that that would be pandemonium for sure.
Interesting. I just found it interesting, as someone who likes to study politics or pay attention. Yesterday, on the old Twitter, Twix, X, whichever you want to call it, Bill McCosian, a longtime Republican. Bill McCosian, of course, former chief of staff and secretary of commerce under former Republican governor Tommy Thompson, tweeted this out. He says, the case against a GOP gubernatorial primary. One, the consulting class is willing to destroy their competition in the primary because the bigger payday comes in the general. Two, candidates buy the notion that they have to go nuclear to win. And third, neither Tommy Thompson or Scott Walker had to destroy their opponents in their primary to win. Rather, they had mostly compelling vision and positive messaging to attract a majority of primary voters, and they dramatically outworked their opponents. That from Bill McCosian over the weekend. I just found it interesting. I'm not trying to read into that. I don't know whether Bill McCosian is a showman guy or not, or whether he's just saying Republicans shouldn't destroy their own. And I would say that probably the Democrats, to a certain degree, these primaries these days are just brutal.
Yeah, I mean, they are bruising for sure. I think, you know, I think there's two points here to lift up. Maybe nothing better demonstrates how bruising they can be than the 2022 Republican gubernatorial primary between Tim Michaels, a late entry, and former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish. You know, Michaels spent literally a small fortune several million dollars on TV ads and then got the Trump endorsement and was able to get across the finish line, ultimately, you know, pretty comfortably in that race. But it's hard. And we saw that. And then, of course, 2022 was quite a good political environment for Democrats, especially coming off of the Dobbs decision, et cetera. But you saw the Republican Party of Wisconsin and its chairman, right? Chairman Schumming wanted to move away from primaries right away. He talked about, we need to avoid a primary in the 24 U.S. Senate race. Hovde didn't really have a serious primary opponent. Mm-hmm. He talked about it again in the state Supreme Court race, of course, nonpartisan on paper only, as your listeners probably very well know at this point. And they didn't really have that, right? There was no February primary like we saw in 23 when Dan Kelly and Jennifer Duro beat up on each other. And then Jana Protasiewicz just blew Dan Kelly out of the water. And so, you know, they're interested in avoiding this. That being said, the last two times that they were able to avoid it, their candidate still lost on the Republican side. And so, you know, there maybe is something to being tested in the primaries. Then again, primary day to election day in Wisconsin is only 3 months. That's pretty short compared to many states. And so if you have to spend a lot of money and a lot of time winning one small piece of the electorate, which is the Republican primary base, that can set you back in the 90-day sprint to the finish line for the general election.
Yeah. We're talking with Jack Kelly. He is from WisconsinWatch.org. That's WisconsinWatch.org. Let's go to the phone line quickly, 855-752-4842. Oz is on the phone listening in beautiful Washington County. Oz, thanks for listening and calling. What's up?
Well, thanks for the great show.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like your laugh.
Well, thanks. That came from the genes, you know.
A little cheesy today.
What did you want to say, Oz?
Well, anyhow, I'm talking about Josh Shuman, whatever he's called. He was on the bus for Trump back in November. Big bandwagon. And our property tax went up like $200 this year.
In Washington County?
Yes, Washington County.
So you live there. What's your opinion of Shuman, and what kind of reputation does he have?
He sends out a nice, colorful newsletter telling how great our Washington County is and everything. Well, it's fine. It's fine for a while, and we haven't got that for a while now. So, you know.
So he apparently does some PR work, but you're saying your property taxes, and you know, who knows, there's lots of different things that go into property taxes going up, but at least your personal property taxes have gone up.
Especially when we're on a fixed income, you know.
Right. No, absolutely. I appreciate the call, Oz. Thank you so very much. You have a great day there in beautiful Washington County. Jack, again, I think that's going to, you know, it's going to, still way early, but we'll see how this kind of comes out in terms of, I'm always interested because the photo, was it the photo or the video of the announcement? And he's in the plaid shirt with the camo baseball cap. And I'm like, you know, like Scott Walker, he wasn't a real hunter, a real motorcycle rider, but because Tommy Thompson set the stage, who really is and was a hunter and Harley rider. I mean, so Walker tried to become that persona. It'll be interesting to see. I have no idea. Maybe Shulman is, but I just thought it seemed a little too point on point for me in that opener.
Yeah. I mean, he was doing some media today as well. And, you know, the whole time he's doing some appearances and, you know, kind of the trucker cap with the camo and the Shuman for Governor logo on the front of it. And so, you know, it is definitely, you know, when you're going to run a statewide campaign, you need to send as many signals to voters as you possibly can. And I think that, you know, the plaid flannel with the vest and the hat, you know, sends a message. And also, you know, if you watch the launch video, big emphasis on, you know, son of a Lutheran pastor, a lot of emphasis on his faith. Many, many mentions of his service in Kuwait. You know, those are some of the kind of hallmarks that candidates really try to lift up when they're trying to make a first impression.
Before we get off of this quickly, you're reporting, I'm hearing that Evers is telling people both he's running and not running. Any insight into that?
I you know, every few days I check in with folks, and it really does flip back and forth. I hear similar things. It's I think one of the last conversations I had, it was, you know, definitely leaning towards yes. You know, he's had a lot of success, especially in the courts recently, in state court, especially in front of the state Supreme Court, especially, that could really some of those wins could set him up potentially, if he were to win a third term, to have, you know, more power than he's had the last kind of 6.5 years. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see. He, if nothing else, Tony Evers remains an outstanding fundraiser. And so he could probably raise, you know, 20, 30 million bucks in a heartbeat, which goes a long, long ways, especially, you know, it's not that expensive to buy advertising in Wisconsin for a candidate.
No, exactly right. And interesting to see in terms of now that you're not going to have Judas Priest, Ben Wickler as the chairman of the Democrats anymore, because Wickler is stepping down. You get Joe Zepecki. Does he step into that role? Can he keep the gravy train rolling for money for Democrats? Was it, to your point, do you think it's really Evers who's the great fundraiser, or is it Ben Wickler helping the Evers campaign fundraiser?
Yeah, I mean, that is a fascinating dynamic as well, right? I think that, God, I don't remember the exact number, but in terms of statewide elections, well, Ben Wickler was chair of the Democratic Party. I think he only lost 4 or 5 of them. He was like, you know, 19-4 or something, which is
incredible.
A lot to do with the fundraising, of course. They run circles around the state Republican Party by and large.
We're going to come back, talk more to Jack Kelly of Wisconsin Watch after this. Has a great story, a link to Massachusetts with the arrest of Judge Dugan in Milwaukee last week. Talk to Jack Kelly about that. Stay with us. It's the All Balls Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tuttle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 8 before the hour of 3 o'clock. Coming up in hour 2, a little energy drink edition of What's Worse Today. We talked about, because you were here pitch hitting on Friday, Sam, Red Bull and Monster.
That's right.
And you said you hadn't had either one, right?
Right, correct.
Okay. Oh. So we'll see. Jack Kelly from WisconsinWatch.org. What's worse, Monster or Red Bull?
Oh, man. I think probably Monster.
Really?
But I couldn't tell you the last time that I had an energy drink. Actually, I could probably tell you the last time I had a Red Bull, but it was probably an undergrad and it was not just Red Bull. So.
A little mixer.
A little something else alongside it, probably.
Chuckster listening in on WMDX here in Madison, but he's down in beautiful Racine. We were talking about Showman entering the governor's race for the GOP side. It says Showman's been taking shots at Governor Evers. He was the county administrator. Oh, this is nice. Who allowed Washington County golf courses to open during COVID-19 and shut when all the other courses were shut down nationwide in the early days of COVID in April 2020. So there you go. There's something.
I mean, you know, but to that point, that is exactly the kind of culture warrior thing that could endear you in a Republican primary, especially to someone like President Donald Trump.
Well, they're all going for Trump's blessing, right?
Yeah. I mean, the Trump endorsement is make or break, I think.
I use the term jokingly that they all like to genuflect before Trump, and now over the weekend, he literally, this is real, Truth Social out a picture of himself in the Pope's costume dress and says he wants to be Pope. I'm not making that up.
I think he said this morning on Air Force. I think it was on Air Force One. He's not sure how that got reshared on the account. So.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. On the more serious side, you wrote a great piece at Wisconsin Watch, Jack Kelly, here entitled "Arrest of Milwaukee Judge Echoes Massachusetts Case with One Key Difference." Give us the details.
Yeah. So it was striking how many details were similar in this. So. This goes back to a 2019 case, which involves a 2018 incident. It took federal prosecutors several months to, you know, collect evidence and impanel the grand jury and get an indictment of a Massachusetts judge named Shelley Richmond Joseph. In that case, Joseph was accused of helping an unauthorized immigrant avoid an ICE agent after a court appearance. To do so, it was alleged that she had the defendant leave her courtroom through a non-public exit. And then eventually another courthouse official actually badged this gentleman out of the back of the building. And so both Judge Joseph and another court official were indicted. Of course, that probably sounds similar if you've heard any of the details in the case of Hannah Dugan, Judge Hannah Dugan in Milwaukee County. You know, the criminal complaint against her alleges that she, you know, told this defendant to come with her and led them through a non-public exit, which, you know, when you talk to people who spend a lot of time in the Milwaukee County Courthouse would say, well, they actually ended up in the public hallway anyways. Right. As they noted, the agents watched them walk to the elevator, decided not to arrest them, then waited for them to go outside, and then eventually the man tried to flee, and they caught him after a foot pursuit. And so, you know, kind of those parallels of this this idea of letting somebody through a non-public exit to try to avoid ICE officials. Mm-hmm. That key difference, and you might have picked up on it there, I talked about how prosecutors secured an indictment of the Massachusetts judge in 2019. That is not what happened in the case in Milwaukee so far, at least unless it has happened in the last 20 minutes and I've missed something. They served her with a federal criminal complaint, mm-hmm. which I'm told by former federal prosecutors is quite unusual. So how do you get a federal criminal complaint? You, as the prosecutor, go before a federal judge. In this instance, it was a federal magistrate judge, and have to establish probable cause. If the judge signs off on it, then you can do it, and then it can lead to the arrest and the booking and everything else that we've seen. That's very different than getting an indictment, which is where prosecutors go before a grand jury of other, you know, in this instance would be other Wisconsin residents, and present evidence to show that there is probable cause and then secure an indictment. And it's also noteworthy because it starts a clock. So there is a clock. I was told it was 21 days. Mm-hmm. And so if this was, you know, two Fridays ago, they have 21 days from that day to put their evidence together, see a grand jury, make their arguments, and then try to secure an indictment. And if they don't, the charges could get thrown out. People were very critical of this. You know, I was talking to a former federal prosecutor who is a law professor in California now. She made the point to me that normally when you're doing this via a criminal complaint, you know, it's somebody is a flight risk or they're a danger to the community and you need to take them into custody now. Mm-hmm. There's no evidence of that. Judge Dugan is in her 60s. She is a sitting circuit court judge. There's no evidence that she was a flight risk. Stephen Kravitz, who's another Milwaukee area attorney, who's a former federal prosecutor as well, went so far as to say that, you know, the point of doing it this way was to make a political point, he told me. He said, quote, you know, normally a person charged even with felonies age 60 plus with no record and no chance of fleeing would be summoned to show up at an appointed time for a booking and arraignment. Not here. And that was the point. And so it is really striking between these two cases, very similar circumstances, but they went the more traditional route back in 2019, grand jury indictment versus this kind of hurried criminal complaint process. And when you ask folks who are familiar in the space, they would say that was the point, to send a message.
And that's why I love it. You folks at WisconsinWatch.org is that you boil this stuff down as you just did for us here. You give us the facts. And when you get the entertainment out of it, it appears, your reporting and others, that this really was intentional to somehow intimidate the court system, to intimidate the public that, hey, you cross us, this is what's happening. And I think that, for me at least, I'll speak for myself, is one of the most disturbing things about this whole incident is this suppression of the public, suppression of the courts, and capitulation to one person in Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think it's also worth pointing out, the FBI director, Kash Patel, tweeted about this, then deleted it, later tweeted, I believe it was Director Patel who tweeted out the photo of her in handcuffs. Right. Again, this is a 60-something woman. She's a sitting elected official. You know, when the former president was indicted, he did not show up in handcuffs. So the AG talked about it.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Always great to talk with you, Jack Kelly. You can find all these stories and more at WisconsinWatch.org. We'll see you soon, my friend.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Stay tuned. Hour two is next.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.